Shout out Shaq Edwards.
The majesty.
Oh my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
K-O-K-24-7
1000%
confirmed.
Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
Hey everybody, this is WWE Champion CM Punk, Straight Edge Superstar CM Punk.
This is WWE Champion Big E, and I'm with my guy, my man, the bald legend himself.
Hey everybody, Daniel Bryan here, hanging out with Rosenberg at Rosenberg Radio. Do you want to hear him talk about wrestling? Yes!
Hey y'all, what's up? This is Bianca Belair, the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best, and I'm hanging out with Pete Rosenberg.
Hear that?
That's a cheap heat!
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's number one sports and recreation podcast is back, and it is a new era. The mage era of Cheap Heat is here. I'm your forever 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg, coming from a new desk setup, but in the same city, New York City, your forever 24/7 champion, coming to you from Philadelphia in a very similar setup with his bloodline, celebratory figures around him, and a championship title. We have the physically strong Sakai Greg.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the bloodline, but we're going to get to it, I'm sure. Because...
You have questions.
Yeah, I have questions.
And joining us from Los Angeles, it is still sweater weather for 36 to 35 Dipperstein. Hey, Dip, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you this morning?
Hey, really doing good here, guys. Really, really doing good. First and foremost, I just want to say welcome to everybody who made the decision after Ringer Wrestling Show to come on over to Cheap Heat. On our new current platform. Thank you for actually making that move. You guys would be shocked at how hard it is transitioning a podcast from place to place, especially when we've done it, I don't know how many times now in the history of this podcast.
Probably our third or fourth.
I mean, I can't remember. Like, I don't know if when we were on Grantland, I'm guessing when we went to ESPN, they didn't switch anything. I think it just got absorbed naturally into ESPN. But then I know there was a switch after we left ESPN. And then I know there was a switch when we went to the Ringer Wrestling Show. And then I know there was a switch now. So it's probably the fourth time you've hit follow or subscribe. And we have some awesome email, some of which we read on the last Ringer Wrestling Show that we did, and some of which I'll try to get to here. But super grateful for everyone who did that. And for everyone who's brand new, who is just finding us because the way the algorithm works, because you have a new podcast and a new trailer and you're seeing it recommended and it's your first time, welcome aboard. We hope you love professional wrestling and think it's great. We also hope you like talking about things like towel quality, eyewear, bagels, possible Passover will come up this week with the holiday approaching, and the other things that we get into on Cheap Heat. But today, and I know this is a crazy way to start, I think we should start with pro wrestling because... A couple of big things happened on last night's episode of Raw, including Rhea Ripley relinquishing the title. And I was a little surprised by that. Do we know, let me ask either of you, do we know the actual, is there like an actual dirt sheet story on what happened with her? Or are they just going with the, during the thing with Liv last week, she got hurt?
That's what I've been seeing, that during the thing with Liv, she got hurt her shoulder, and as we saw, had to relinquish the title.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened. There's a shoulder injury going on, and
that's what they're saying.
She's
they're
hurt. There's a shoulder. Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, listen, it is a bummer to hear, but I have to say, guys, aside from my personal concern for Rhea, because I love her and think she's great and a wonderful human being who I just want to be happy and well. I got to tell you, from just a straight wrestling standpoint, I don't hate this for her. Like, I know it's kind of like, oh, WrestleMania just happened. This is the worst thing. What about the Judgment Day? Take the Judgment Day out of it for a moment, because I could see how that could be complicated. But just from the standpoint of Rhea Ripley, the superstar. He has been our TVs nonstop for the last couple of years. It has been an unbelievable run. We went from SGG saying she wasn't quite at the level of what was the name of Nikki's character, that Nikki ASH, yeah, to now being the number one women superstar on the planet and one of the top superstars on the planet, period. It's been an unreal run. She beats Becky at WrestleMania. What in this moment do you do? Everyone's starting to cheer her, but she's still Judgment Day. Guys, I got to tell you, again, I just hope that she's well. But from a wrestling character standpoint, I do not hate Rhea Ripley getting off TV for a while and having to relinquish the title without ever losing. SGG, what say you?
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 1,000%. This is really sort of the perfect time for her to, I don't want to say go away, but for her to have to leave our TV screens and get some absence, rest up, come back with a new fire lit under her when she comes back for that title that she never lost. This is the perfect time to do it because you said the right thing. Like, she just had her WrestleMania moment. So it's not like she missed WrestleMania. She made it to WrestleMania, had that amazing entrance, opened the show, set the tone with an incredible match, held on to her title, and now she has to go away for a while at a time when wrestling fans, let's be honest, we're expecting a little bit of a dip as we head into SummerSlam, like a little bit of a lull before it picks up again. So for her to be able to miss that and not have to deal with that that period that where it becomes a bit of a lull after Mania, it's a win for her. The injury aside, and the injury is going to be huge, and you know, it's hard to think of that as a positive, but the blessing in disguise is that she gets to dodge this time period and come back with all of her heat.
Dip, what do you say?
I'm not a relinquish guy. I don't like a relinquish.
You'd rather have her had a match.
I'd rather have her like have the title but be injured and not, and like, you know, be in vignettes and sort of on the show with the title hurt. I don't like, I guess maybe it must be a serious injury because she's not going to be able to defend the title for a very long time. But still, I don't know. I'm not a relinquish guy. I don't like a relinquishing. Do you think
what I thought what was going to happen last night was, and I know this wouldn't be very babyface-ish, but then again, Liv's attack on her wasn't babyface-ish in the first place. I thought when Liv came down there last night, Rhea was just going to go, "You want it? You got it. I can beat you with one arm." And she was going to have a match and lose to Liv. That's what I thought they would do. She would be clearly compromised and Liv, in sort of heelish fashion, would beat Rhea Ripley for the title. And Rhea would always kind of say, like, it wasn't legitimate. I was absolutely injured. So I sort of hear what you're saying. I do think there was a way they could have done that. I would guess, though, if they don't want her walking around with the title hurt, they sort of feel like, you know, the women's division could use a shot in the arm. And by getting someone else to have the title while she's gone, that could be beneficial to someone else.
Who could it be, though? What's the, you know, it's got to be Rhea Ripley right now. Is it going to be Becky?
I mean, there's plenty of people that I think could be.
Could be Nia. They could send somebody in, have Nia just be dominant the same way Rhea was dominant.
I like the idea of it being Nia Jax. That's a good idea. Gregory.
By the way, we have a draft in 2 weeks. So it could be a Bianca Belair conversation. It could be, I would imagine she's not ready for it, but it could be Jade Cargill trying to get after the title right away. It could be a tournament. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could do to try to take this title, which you did never want it. When was the right time going to be for it to come off of Rhea? Because like, she's been so hot and so dominant. She probably would have had it for ages. That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't hate to relinquish. Let someone else. She never lost. She'll get to come
not,
back
not for her. Just in general,
match back. Yeah. No, I know.
I just don't like. Here you go. Like, all right. I hate the. It's like they make it a segment. I don't know.
Listen. You have the. It's not. It's well, not
it
like,
does
not
have to become part of the story, right? Like, they can't just have the champion disappear one day. So they do have to do that. Their hands are sort of tied in that sense.
Yeah, and again, we don't know the extent of the injury, but, you know, it's obviously seemingly going to be a while. I have not heard anything except for what we all saw on television. But by the way, we will go back to SmackDown too, which, as SGG intimated, had a lot happen. But also last night, I got to tell you guys, I like the new tag titles.
Me too. Yeah. I hated those other tag titles. They were so bland and dull. These have a little pizzazz to them. They were nothing. They were bland nothing. The silver circle? Repug.
I think it was white gold. But I didn't like the design when it was like the bronze-ish. When they updated it with the silver, and especially those SmackDown tag team titles, I thought they looked beautiful. But these also look beautiful. Yeah. And I like that these sort of have a matching aesthetic to the world title, the women's world title, and now the world tag team title. They have matching names and they sort of look like they belong together.
Yeah, well, it gives you a little bit of synergy there, and like you can remember what they are easier. Now, so they're the R-Truth and the Miz are the world tag team champions. So my question is, are Austin Theory and Grayson Waller going to get new WWE tag team championship gold as well?
This will be the This will be the WWE. You know, he called them the world champions, and this will be the WWE. I don't like that either. You know,
R-Truth and the Miz are the world tag team champions.
It should be Raw tag team champions and SmackDown tag team champions. What is world? I don't know. I hate when that.
I hear you.
The world and the WWE. What does it even mean? It's not. It's nonsensical. It is. I don't know. I don't get it.
I will say this. I think Dip is right that it's very confusing for people to differentiate what the difference is between the titles.
It just doesn't. It's the.
Well, this is why they should have. They should have. When Roman was walking around with both of the major men's titles, that should have been their cue of one women's champion, one tag team champion for the men's, and then just have it go like that, like.
Oh, that I agree doubles with,
yeah. And have them float. That was their perfect opportunity to do that. They missed it. They went the other way.
Be one champion, one world champion, one tag champion, one women's champion, one intercontinental. That's it. That's what it should
be. Yeah, by the way, I'd rather you come up with more titles that are individual than double titles on each brand. I would rather bring back US, have a European, have more fun with titles, but have them be there's just one. I agree with you. This is very complicated. Now, I think the hope here would be they're going to simplify the titles. You're going to have now, so on Raw, you're going to have Damian Priest as the world champion. Rhea Ripley, up until yesterday, was the women's world champion. And R-Truth and The Miz are the world tag team champions. On SmackDown, Cody Rhodes is the undisputed WWE champion. Bayley is the WWE women's champion. On Austin Theory and Grayson Waller are the WWE tag champions. And of course, the Kabuki Warriors are the women's tag team champions.
Who float. They've been on NXT. Sure. They've been on Raw. They've been on. They float. They do it right. The other
everyone's champions. It's absurd. There should be one champion and for each thing.
The most obvious thing that bothers me about the title thing, which I would love to have gotten fixed here, is why is Cody's title called Undisputed if there's another top world champion? It's
what happened to Universal? Undisputed. Did they get rid of Universal?
So
is it not called the Universal now, anymore?
The WWE.
Undisputed it's now title. Called Undisputed WWE Champion, I believe.
Yeah.
They got rid of the word Universal because, listen, it was a lot to have Undisputed and Universal together. That is a lot. But the word that needed to go was not Universal. The word was Undisputed. That was the word that needs to go. It's disputed.
Yeah.
People are disputing. Damien's disputing. There's a lot of dispute. Yeah, there's a lot of dispute.
Here's what makes it even more confusing. I went to WWE.com just now.
Uh-oh.
The superstar page. Because, you know, they list out the champions. That should offer some clarity. Cody Rhodes is listed as Universal Champion, and then separately listed as the Undisputed WWE Champion.
Wait, what?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That doesn't even make sense.
Cody Rhodes, Universal Champion, undisputed WWE champion.
Okay, no.
You're hurting me.
That's not, that does not, no. Anyways, it has been a fantastic era. Everyone is into the first 2 weeks of the era. The titles thing, I think, still has cleaning up to do. I will just say that. So you had the titles being introduced last night. What did you guys think of how they did the Sami Zayn intro? If you guys didn't watch Raw last night, they did this crazy thing. Jey Uso kind of walks through the Bell Center, and then Sami Zayn walks back through. Dip, you're shaking your head. You don't seem happy with it.
It felt bizarre to me. I don't know what that was. He starts walking. He's walking through the crowd. He's shaking hands. And now he's outside and standing there randomly is Sami Zayn. And then he like tags in Sami Zayn to do the same walk that he just did the other way. I don't think it was choreographed very well. I don't know what that was. It was bizarre. I was going to bring it up. I'm glad you did. Not to be overly critical the first week. I mean, but you know, there's clearly something, there was something going on there that didn't make any sense. Am I wrong?
So real quick, I'm going to ask you something, SUG, before you give your take. In our group chat where Andrew Goldstein said, GD, this Sammy entrance is, and he put 5 stars. Does he mean like awesome 5 stars, or is he editing the curse word?
I don't know. I don't know, because there are star emojis. So when I see an asterisk now, I think censored. Something was censored. So I don't know.
Yeah, but why would he? But he would have cursed. He would have just cursed.
I couldn't think of a five-letter curse word.
What were they going for there?
Listen, I thought it was cool. I thought the walking in part was cool. I thought the him dapping people up, walking through the arena was cool. You didn't like that part? The part that you don't like is, why did Jey Uso walk out to go get him?
Didn't make any sense. It was very awkward. I also don't love, unless they're wrestling, I don't like to see that concourse with the food and the bathrooms, unless there's like a fight going on.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
You like to pretend it's not there? In your kayfabe world, there's no concourse with bathrooms and nachos?
Yeah, this is just a place
for sandwiches.
This is just a place where they fight. This is not, nothing is sanctioned here. This isn't an arena.
We never brought this up after WrestleMania weekend. The number one thing people were talking to Dip about was, are you out of your mind wanting tuna sandwiches in the concourse?
Yeah, I mean, Dip is out of his mind wanting tuna sandwiches at a sporting event. That was of all the crazy takes, the crazy non-wrestling takes that we've had on this show amongst three of us, Dip with the tuna sandwich out of wrestling show.
Can I get it? If you missed it, Dip a few weeks ago goes, would it be so hard for them to make a tuna sandwich? To which the collective Cheap Heat universe goes, why would you ever want to order a tuna sandwich from the Barclays Center? Was, I believe, the direct quote.
I just want, my point was that I want options in this concourse that aren't the crap that you look up and see. Can I, a hot dog with fries, a chicken fingers with, you know, blah, 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 blah. I just don't want like crap, crap, crap. I want normal, normal, normal.
So here's what Dip is. Let me help.
Normal was a tuna sandwich.
When I go to these suites and I'm able to eat a little, you know, a little shiva sandwich.
What's a shiva?
I love a good shiva sandwich.
What do you consider a shiva sandwich? Like meats?
A mini sandwich, a tiny sandwich that you would order for a shiva. I like to go to the suites and find a little shiva sandwich.
I haven't been to a shiva long enough to remember the small sandwiches. But for people who don't know, a shiva is when Jews, as Larry David once put on Curb, sit around small talking and eating M&Ms. That's basically what a shiva is. I think, what do they call it? SUG, what do Christians call it?
Like a repast?
Visitation or repass? Yeah. It's whatever it is. It's the sitting around the house doing nothing. And Dip, you're saying they get the sandwiches and they cut them into quarters, like the mini, there's a mini sandwich.
Yeah, or they're just tiny little challah sandwiches or they're little mini sandwich. I like a nice shiva sandwich when I'm watching, you know, wrestling. You know, so and I like the sweet food is acceptable to me. If you're lucky enough to go to a suite.
Well, but by the way, every suite is different. Every arena suite is different. Every person who's ordering in the suite is different. So
the sweet food,
that's true.
The sweet food is better than the seat food, though.
Is there anything better than going in someone's suite and seeing a full smorg?
No.
I know Peter loves it. I see his eyes light up. I see his eyes light up at the sweet smorg.
We just Dip and I at Barclays Center. We visited an acclaimed celeb friend who has who was getting the royal treatment. They gave him the whole suite, and it was only him and a few friends. But because he's a big deal, they gave him the full suite. They had wings. They had this. They had drinks. They had everything out. Desserts. Everything was
cookies,
out.
As I've never seen them in my life.
As if it was a huge party when it was like six people. So just so you know what's happening out here, people. This is what's happening when you're mage. And no, Dip's right. My eyes lit up 1,000%. How about this? I went to Bad Bunny last week in the Qatar Airways suite. Natalie, do you want to comment on the wings real quick? Come here. On the Mage Era of Cheap Heat. Talk about what wings they had at the Qatar Airways suite.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Miss Mage. Did you guys miss me? I'm sure you did. Wait, what wings are you talking about? I know we ate some bomb wings recently.
You don't remember at Bad Bunny?
I do. Oh, it was at Bad Bunny. Yes. I think we think that it was at Dinosaur.
We believe they had dinosaur wings in the suite.
The evil rabbit only eats one kind of wings.
We enjoyed ourselves.
The evil rabbit only eats mage wings. By the way, the reason the term, I believe it was Mrs. Mage.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Did he write Miss or Mrs.? There's a gentleman in my building named John, who is a big peckerhead, and he's hearing this today. I'm sure he already followed on the new thing. First of all, he's a great guy. Dip, if you're ever staying here and you need any help, we have a peckerhead in the office. He has changed my experience in my building, having a peckerhead working in the office. And when I asked him for a favor recently, I was like, hey, Natalie needs blah, blah, blah. I think his response was anything for Mrs. Mage, which we thought was high level.
Wow.
Yeah. So shout out to John.
So if I lock myself out of your apartment, I have no problems anymore.
Correct. I will give you his phone number.
Give him a key. Make sure he has a key.
By the way, you should just blind text him. He will pop so big. If you just randomly text him like, hey, it's Nipperstein, just checking in so you have my information. I might need you. He will appreciate it.
You have one of the most confusing locking scenarios on your front door. There's 10 locks. There's that thing, the chain thing. There's I don't know whether it's left or right. It makes the same sound, whether it's locked or not locked.
It's mostly just unlocked. It's mostly nothing. You just normally just walk in. I don't want to tell the thieves where I am, but it's mostly, I'm a big unlocked door guy. I got to be honest. It is one of the true luxuries of living in a nice Manhattan building. Like, there's so many layers of security to get in my building.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
my next door neighbors.
Good luck getting to the unlocked door.
So you have to get into my building and then you have to randomly guess it's my apartment. Like, there's too many layers to it. And I have neighbors.
Yeah,
and
then
I have three, four neighbors in my hallway. It's nice. Dip, it's
right,
one of the
even
nice
to get to that hallway, you have to make like six of the right turns to get to that hallway.
Yeah, it's a lot of effort. I'm not saying it couldn't be done if some psycho found a way through another entrance like during construction, but it's tough. Either way, shout out to John. We're going to connect you. You need to be in touch. Now, let's talk about the big news from Friday. Dip, something happened. There was a something.
Yeah.
I believe your direct, well, we, I believe
you missed
Dip's direct quote was Tama Tonga, fuck yeah, was the Dipperstein quote that I saw.
Was that
the only thing missing was the face paint. Was Tama Tonga's face paint, which I would have thought, by the way,
it has
would have
had
face
way.
Paint on. It's gotta be on the way. I mean, because his face paint is the most mage thing about him. I mean, he looks great and he's in great shape. And he's a great wrestler. And he's sort of on the older side too.
How old is Tama Tonga?
He's
around
Tama old.
Jimmy's age. Let's see.
He is 41.
Yeah.
Dude, that's even more mage than I realized, guys.
I didn't realize. First of all.
Wait, so hold on. I got to look at his page here. Yeah, how long?
He's been tonging all over the place for years.
He's been tonging up a storm?
Yes.
He was in New Japan 2010 to 2012. Then other stuff, Bullet Club and Guerrillas of Destiny, 2013-18. Bullet Club Civil War, 2018-2019. Seven-time IWGP Tag Champion, 2019-2022. Bullet Club Departure. And now, 2024 WWE. This is a legitimate veteran.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's even more mage, dude. I didn't realize that.
It's so funny.
When I heard he signed, I thought they were gonna, you know, send him with AJ to do like some type of Bullet Club something, but this I didn't see coming, and this is even better than what I imagined.
This was the only thing that made sense for him to do. But it's so funny when you watch him at a New Japan show, or you watch him wrestle in a non WWE ring, he looks gargantuan usually, and then when he walked into this ring, he looks.
He looked like he's in the bloodline. Like he was fine, but he's not, you know, he's
usually gargantuan.
Right. I believe
when you see him, he towers over whoever he's standing next to. And now he looks, you know, like a guy who can be a part of the club.
Yeah.
And so, wow, what a cool thing. By the way, it's listed as, and you guys may already know this because obviously I'm not super up on Tama Tonga's history, that he's Haku's nephew. And son. Adopted son. Adopted son.
Right.
And nephew.
Right.
That's pretty main.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Haku, you know, for people wondering how that connects Tama Tonga to the bloodline, way back in the early 80s, Haku teamed with the Tonga kid who changed his name to Tama. Tama and Haku were the Islanders managed by Bobby Heenan. Fast forward to the Attitude Era, after Rikishi had his little heel stint, he brought in Haku. Rikishi, of course, is the father of Solo Sikoa. Tama, aka the Tonga Kid, is the father of Jacob Fatu. Bloodline members, Jacob Fatu's possibly on the way for this Bloodline 2.0. Major. So they affiliated. Might not be Blood Oath.
Is there another Fatu moving around, by the way, besides Jacob?
Zilla Fatu, Umaga's son, is also moving around. I think he might have been moving around with Jacob during Mania weekend, you know, in and around the streets of Philadelphia. So it's like this another layer of Fatus and Bloodline members ready to.
Now, I guess
I'm sure there's 20, 30 more of them, too.
but they pop up on you. But
there's a bloodline member born every 30 seconds in the world.
We should only be so lucky. By the way, it explains, and we didn't say much about this during our rave reviews of WrestleMania. The biggest letdown from WrestleMania was probably Jimmy and Jay. They were not given a real match time, but that was not the dream match for Jimmy and Jay that we wanted at WrestleMania. I don't think anyone thought it looked like a 10-minute kind of simple win for Jey Uso. I don't think any of us thought that's where we were going.
No.
And now you never know with WWE. So there's a chance that they'd made the decision on this, like literally that weekend. And then brought him in, or there's a chance they absolutely knew that was coming. So they thought, you know what? We're just going to wrap up the Jimmy J thing real quick. Jimmy's going to get beat up by Tama Tonga. We're going to get Jimmy and Jay back together. It's going to be Solo and Tama Tonga versus Jimmy and Jay. Let's just get them back together.
But then where does that leave Roman and The Rock, right? Is Solo acting on his own, or is Solo acting on orders from the final boss? You know,
they said they said he was acting on orders.
But he said he was acting on the orders of Roman, correct?
No. What happened was they made it seem as if Solo picked up the mantle as tribal chief, because Tama Tonga said he was acting by orders of the tribal chief, but it looked like Solo was giving him the orders, because even when
Solo stole the phone from Paul Heyman and broke the phone.
Yeah, and stomped it when Paul Heyman said, call Roman Reigns. So I don't think Roman is involved at all with what's happening now, especially because this is the consequences of losing, and Roman lost.
By the way, I love that I love that Paul does not know how to use a phone without saying Siri, call someone. He does not, he refuses to just flip through the phone, find the phone number. He does not want to do it. So it's very exciting though. Very tough test on the phone. But it is very cool for the Bloodline story. Interested to see where that goes as well. So
how did we skip over Chad Gable heel turn?
You know, let's not skip over it. I'm kind of hitting it in the order of both time and importance. No, let's get right to it. Chad Gable, he beat the hell out of Sami Zayn in front of his family in the crowd of Montreal. What are your like tees?
Not just in front of his family. He snatched Sami Zayn out of his wife's arms after the win to start. Facts. That's how the beatdown started. So it's already started on 10. He snatched him out of his wife's hands.
I didn't think this was the moment to turn him heel. I thought he's like having like a legitimate under the radar cult babyface run right now. And then having him turn heel just sort of, I think it kills Chad Gable completely.
Wow.
That is a strong take.
Kills him for now. No one's going to care. Everyone cared when he was the fun, poppy, I can wrestle really well, shoosh thing. Everyone was into it. Now you're going to have him heel. He'll be dead as a doorknob.
Well, let me say this with regard to
Let me just finish my point. He's not big enough he's like low to mid card. If he had the IC title or something like that, like I had mentioned, he should have had, you know, a short while ago, and he turned heel, then it would have meant something if he was heel with the belt. But if he's heel, like just mid card heel, dead. I'm predicting it now. He'll have a couple of cool promos, and maybe but unless they repackage him, that makes him different than who he is right now in a real way.
Oh, I think he can't.
They are.
I'm
saying they'll have to change his look a little. They're going to have to do something with him.
No, you can't leave him. He can't be a small amateur looking wrestler who's also like a big heel. I agree with you in that way. There has to be some sort of change. I mean, maybe you could. Steiner certainly did it at times, but they were much bigger than Chad Gable.
They're way bigger.
I don't agree with everything Dip just said. I don't agree that he's dead and it can't work. I think this could be what takes him to the next level if done the right way. I will say this, though. You certainly hear the murmurs and understand it, that it should have been Chad Gable to beat Gunther at WrestleMania. And that was the moment to make Chad Gable.
Yes.
I don't know that Sami Zayn... Can I be honest, guys? Sami Zayn wasn't made by beating Gunther. He's Sami Zayn. He was Sami Zayn before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was Sami Zayn after. If Sami Zayn had a random singles match against whoever it was, they'd ended up throwing him in a match with Solo Sikoa at WrestleMania. He would have gotten the same entrance at the Bell Center yesterday. He didn't have to beat Gunther to get treated that way in Montreal. He is Sami Zayn. Whereas, and this is where I'm agreeing with Dip, whereas had Chad Gable somehow had the underdog match that it felt like they'd been building to with Gunther and beaten Gunther at Mania, that is a character-making win at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Yeah.
That they did.
Thank you.
I agree. But now that we've got this turn, you know the four words that I'm going to say. I'm going to let it play out. Because it's possible that this heel version of Chad Gable that we get is bigger than whatever championship Gable might have looked like.
I agree.
And he might still get his hands on the championship. So he's going to get both. He's going to get the title and he's going to be this super formidable heel champion. But one thing I will say that you guys both, you know, sort of floated by is that Chad Gable may or may not be dead in the water, but I think Alpha Academy absolutely is dead in the water because when they showed Chad Gable training for his match with Sami Zayn, he wasn't with Otis. He wasn't with Tozawa. Maxine was nowhere to be found. He was with the Creed brothers. And I think that if the three of them come together and form some type of, you know, Team Angle 2.0 type of faction, I think the tag team division gets a shot in the arm. And I think Chad Gable gets a boost that he just wasn't going to get from Alpha Academy.
It is a fair point. That Alpha Academy certainly is probably going to fall by the wayside here if they haven't already. But I will agree with SGG in terms of the let it play out scenario that I think Dip is missing here in his passion for the situation. I really think that Chad as a heel, as an obnoxious heel, could be awesome. His character is kind of already almost that. Like, he's already
was that before fans fell in love with it, right? So now he gets to be obnoxious, but with this intensity that we just haven't seen. Like, we're just going to be forced to take him seriously at this point.
And there's Sammy hugging his dad, hugging the fam, hugging his wife. Oh,
and now getting a back hug from the Cable.
You never want to get a back hug. Natalie is the only person who can come up, hug me from behind. I don't even like saying it, to be honest with you. Now, you can come up
and joke. I'm going to hug you from behind next time I see you.
Dip's not a big hugger. He's don't even listen to a word he's saying. But I hug. You're a can I be honest with you? This is a big, you guys are getting big information here on the first episode of the Mage Era. You're a terrible hugger. Terrible.
What? Wow. Why would you say this? Are people talking? Is there chatter about this?
I've never said it out loud. I've never asked Natalie. I'm going to ask you right now. Natalie, what do you think of Dip's hugs? Be honest. Considering how much you love him relative to the whole thing, what do you think of Dip as a hugger? Be honest. I don't care if I'm wrong.
He's not much of a hugger, right?
Wow.
What do I do? One arm, pat on the back.
Yes.
One arm. I do that.
Which is fine. I'm good on that too.
You need a squeeze? Everyone needs a squeeze?
No. Listen, point was made. And thank you, Natalie. Thank you for saying what needed to be said.
Now I'm going to be self-conscious about my hugs. I cannot walk around this earth without someone criticizing what I'm doing around every corner. I'm literally like George Costanza. Why do I always have to be the center of attention? Why are people talking about me, my hugs?
You brought it up. I never asked her. That was the first time.
I never thought about it.
You brought up the hugging. I can't improve on my hugs.
SGG, you said what happened? You're going to hug him next time you saw him.
And you said, I will not accept your hug because you don't give good hugs.
I said it's an empty threat because you're not even the biggest hugger in the business today. And now, listen, all I'm saying is there are different, when you rank hugs, there are people who give really good, big hugs, and there are people who give a pat. My dad is just like you. My dad is a pat. I have to really squeeze him. Otherwise, he's leaning in and giving a pat. There are other people I could think of, like, for example, you're on one end of the spectrum. The Busta Rhymes is the opposite. Busta Rhymes will kill you hugging you. I mean, he's squeezing.
What about a rub? What about people that rub the back?
No, there's people that do that.
Only a woman should give you a rub on the back with the hug. A man cannot give you the back. No rub.
I have the same hug as you, Dip. I feel like I wouldn't.
That's not true.
Sometimes
you give my mom the biggest squeezes and hugs. And my brother, you give the family big hugs. Okay. Dip's not a big hugger. You're not Bailey. It's not your gimmick.
No, he is Bailey. It's not his gimmick anymore. He is Bailey.
By the way, should we make a new shirt for Dip? Not a hugger. All right. So guys,
who needs hugs? I don't need a hug.
See, exactly.
Give me a two sweet me. That's all I need. Okay.
Long time. Do you feel like this is the opportunity for Drew McIntyre to get that moment?
Why
back
am I not hearing
that?
You missed. Strange. You guys hearing that?
I can hear it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. With live fans, I've talked about it a bunch of times. People like Seth saying, "I'm crying about how I never got my moment. I never cried.
Oh, there it is.
Time. I did what I had to do. Tonight is going to be.
Have you guys seen this by any chance?
Is this before or after?
God, you guys are both real pieces of shit. This is my biggest spot at WrestleMania. Neither of you have seen it. My agent, my dear friends.
I've seen it.
Neither.
I've seen it. What are you talking about? I've seen it. Yes. I went back and watched the shows.
Are you trying to make up for the bad hug?
I think he is. I don't believe it.
No, I just.
All right. Here's the point I'm getting to. Hold on. But by the way, SGG, this is very good here. He's very good here. Watch.
People. No.
Drew McIntyre and I walked backstage.
The wheels are turning. people have been making a lot of jokes recently, you know, about that time period and, you know, how I've been crying, which I've not.
Beer lineup,
I think people forget really quickly these days about everything. You know, that's just the way the world is. The world moves so fast, you forget. You just move on. You forget about the past. I want people to think about the past. Remember that time. Remember 4 years ago. It wasn't funny. Remember the fear. Remember being at home. Remember what happened to you, potentially happened to your family, potentially happened to your friends. Remember who was there for you, WWE, who specifically Drew McIntyre. I don't deserve this. I have earned this, and you bloody know it. Drew,
you're not going to get distracted by the fact that CM Punk is sitting right there at ringside tonight, are you?
It's my idea. Yeah. The biggest contract.
I hate my delivery there, but he was walking us.
You ever have to justify that? The one good thing he can do is run that mouth. So he's going to run that mouth, and he's going to watch me lift that title right in front of his stupid face. I got to go. I'm Cam.
I'm Cam. Woosa. Now, here's the part I was trying to show you, SG. Is this the last time we're ever going to see a moment like this?
Drew McIntyre, ladies and gentlemen. Wait. Alpha Academy? What is going on? What is this?
This is the last top.
It is the cricket chair phone, Rosie. Right, we've leveraged the speed and power of Cricket 5G into the most powerful chair in existence.
So what are we doing? What would one do with this Cricket chair?
I mean, how are you feeling? You want to take a selfie?
All right, fine. An Alpha Academy selfie. All right, here we go. Very handsome.
And I'll send it to you from the chair.
Thank you very much.
Do that. It can do that.
I can send it from the chair. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. All right,
we are never going to see friendly Chad Gable ever again. And the funniest thing about this whole thing is that right when I walked in, guys, watch my microphone hit Otis directly in the head. This is the sleeper part.
Y'all are
bad too.
I heard it. Phone, Rosie. That's right.
I want to say this right now. Otis, that was so funny. Otis not being given the full Chris Farley at WWE is still a mistake.
Criminal.
He needs a full love story. They almost gave him one for a second. He needs a full love story. Him and Gable have never been executed the way it could be. And hopefully, if they do this heel thing with Gable, he should obviously kill Otis, right? He should find ways to torment Otis. It could work wonders for both of them. There's a lot there, I think. You guys want to do some mailbag on this first episode of the Mage Era?
Oh, I think it's the only way we should open up the Mage Era. Reward the fans who followed us into this new regime.
I do want to say a lot of questions are being asked, a lot of conversation, a lot of people questioning schedule. And for right now, the plan is, guys, to have a schedule as the same. We want to keep everyone on the pattern that you were on, which was getting you an episode on Tuesdays and Fridays. Now, I'm not making a permanent decision on what that looks like, depending on how we go and whether this stays this version of it or we go somewhere else, or maybe there's a world in which we do the regular big public episode on Tuesday and we do a special like Patreon episode on Fridays. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I know that right now in this moment, you can count on your Tuesday, Friday cheap heat, and that's the plan moving forward as of now.
Mail.
Guys, we have such great people. Have I told you that? They're just the best people ever. Justin?
I knew it. You didn't need to tell me. I knew it.
Justin, who sent us this picture, he froze the video from the Cheap Heat Live of Dip just because he loves this pose from Dipperstein.
Dip, I'm showing off my triceps and
Dip showing off his jacket, his wonderful jacket. So he sends us this lovely email and added these words. This man, his name is Justin. He said, "Peter and Co., best of luck with the new standalone pod. Mark my words, going on your own will be the best thing that ever happened to Cheap Heat. Like Steve Jobs said, the heaviness of being successful was replaced by the lightness of being a beginner again. Cheap Heat Live was great. Hope to make it one day. I'm glad to hear all episodes will be on YouTube moving forward. Good for your gimmick storylines, getting more interviews for business, etc." Well, as you heard me say earlier, we kind of changed around. in the immediate, there will not be full episodes on YouTube. The interviews will always be in full on YouTube. For now, it'll be YouTube shorts and clips on YouTube, and we will get there. But I'll make sure for those who are consuming, who like just like to listen to podcasts on YouTube, we will find a way to make sure you get full episodes if that seems like a real thing that people want. Because my goal is just to make sure we have as many people happy and able to get the product as humanly possible. Dan says, Pete, I'm a Pete guy, and whichever wonderful co-host make it to this particular episode of my favorite wrestling podcast. Long time, first time. This will be long, and I hope you'll bear with me. I'll try to make it worth it. Been listening from the middle of the shoot era, baby. Enjoyed this wonderful Ringa era and looking forward to the Mage era. And I have two questions, and I hope you'll be kind enough to indulge me. Question one, probably not really a question. I assume Troy is a Ringer employee and therefore will not be following you to the new era. This is understandable, but a travesty. The antics of Troy have been some of the greatest moments of the podcast in the last year. And the thought of no longer getting these updates of the life and times of the great Troy fills me with dread. The Christmas breakup saga had me absolutely rolling. In fact, I'm sure my neighbors thought I was absolutely insane. I was laughing my ass off while shoveling snow in my driveway, listening to this epic tale. I was listening to last Tuesday's episode while driving, and I screamed at the top of my lungs when Troy confessed, I love wrestling and wrestling is great. I hope a Troy guest spot can be worked out. I can't imagine a life without Troy. He's such a legitimately unique individual and his outlook on things is genuinely refreshing. Second, regarding the great Cody Rhodes, before his WrestleMania win and especially after, the conversation has often turned to the possibility of a redesign of Cody's title. The most popular theory is Cody is bringing back the Winged Eagle belt. Now, many podcasts have theorized this, but because of your extensive knowledge of wrestling history, I've decided to ask you gentlemen, why is this called the Winged Eagle? Are all eagles not winged? I see no need for this unnecessary adjective, winged. It's the default state of an eagle. I don't know everything about you, Pete, but I do assume that you are a person with legs. If I were to describe you, I would not describe you as Pete Rosenberg, a legged man. The fact that you have legs is assumed. I would not deem
what's
it necessary.
This guy's
superfluous detail. Now, if you in fact did not have legs, then yes, it may be worth the extra descriptor. Pete Rosenberg, the legless man. Just like if Eagle had lost its wings in an unfortunate accident. It would be apt to call this particular belt the wingless Eagle title. But as it stands, I'm confused as to why this title makes us act like eagles having wings is an unusual occurrence. Please help me understand. I bet Troy is with me on this. Thanks for everything, Dan.
Where's this? What's this guy's name? Dan?
Yeah, I just said it.
Dan. Dan's trying to outbid bidders.
I don't think
he's trying to do a bit. He's trying to outbid.
By the way, not a bad bit.
Not a bad.
Yeah. What are you calling out the guy's bit? You think who are you? Who are you?
Wait, who am I? I'm a Mr. Bit. I'm the king of bits.
You didn't invent the bit. You're a good bidder. You stopped in and you go, excuse me. Now I have to cut you off mid bit. You cut his legs off. Now he's the legless man. Let the man do a bit. It's not the first bit we've gotten an email. And by the way,
no, it's a good bit. It's a decent bit. Decent.
Why is it the winged eagle?
Well, I'm assuming to give Dan the dignity of, I'm not going to disrespect him like Dip and assume that he just jumped.
I'm not
in here
disrespecting
with
it. I'm just saying he's trying to outbit the kings of bits.
Dip, well, Dan, it is Dan a good bit.
You know what you sounded? Bitter. Sorry, keep going.
He did. I'm going to play the straight man on this question and offer an answer that is because the tips of the eagle's wings jut out from the rest of the title on the winged eagle. It's not the first championship design that WWE had with an eagle on it. I think it was so prominent that they come up off of the rest of the title and you see them sort of poking out. They do the eagle again later on with the big eagle, and then the eagle's still featured on the John Cena spinner belt, but this is the one where the wings of the eagle come up off of the title. Hence,
I appreciate your non-bit answer. And by the way, I do think that is the correct answer. Is it just the fact that the wings stick off like that? It used to confuse me too, because the other ones had eagles and I got it wrong. At first, I bought a title that I thought was the winged eagle. Guess what? It wasn't. So
was the big eagle?
Yeah, it's the one right after. It's the one like, I thought at the time it was Brett's and it was not. It was the one after.
It was the one that The Rock had. And
yes, Kane, it was the one The Rock had.
Attitude Era.
So I have it signed by Brett and Sean, but Brett never had that title. I believe Sean did at some point, but Brett never did.
No, Sean never had it either.
So I'm a hack. Basically, I should throw it in the garbage. To the other question of Troy, Troy will not be producing this version of Cheap Heat, but Troy will remain part of the Cheap Heat family. You will still get Troy updates. We're not abandoning Troy. And of course, by the way, you can go follow Troy Farkas on social medias and listen to Troy's podcast. He did a nice little live show recently. The Found Generation.
Yes. He's been farking up a storm.
Yeah, he's farking and farking. I'm sure he's still high off of UFC, whatever. We already know for a fact, because we had him on the Ring of Wrestling show earlier today, that he is, in fact, high off UFC 300. But don't you worry. Troy will be just fine. Guys, this is it. That was the first episode of the Mage Era. I hope we get more emails this week than we ever have before. But also, before you click away and go listen to that episode of This American Life or Smartless or Call Her Daddy or the Joe Budden podcast or whatever, or whatever Conrad vehicle you're listening to, wherever you get podcasts, if you have the option to rate and review and follow, awesome. You doing that would be a big deal, and we'd really appreciate it. Listening to full episodes is a big deal. Sharing it with other people and putting them onto it would be a big deal. All of it is a big deal, and we sincerely appreciate you guys on this journey. So thank you for all the supportive messages, comments on the Instagram, which is at Cheap Heat Pod. Love seeing the activity on there. And that's it. We're super grateful that you guys came on this journey with us. So I guess until Friday, I don't know. Stay mage.
Yeah.
Take it easy, man.